This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station. Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Red Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
It's a new day. I'm Red Palmer. In the studio, I have
Joseph Purnell.
Joseph Purnell. How are you doing, Joseph?
I'm good. How are you, Rhett?
Now, I've seen your face around a lot locally on Facebook and YouTube and stuff. And you're a fighter.
Yes.
Do you have a fight coming up?
May 6th.
May 6th, you have a fight coming up.
Yes.
Okay, so you had a conversion experience to Jesus, correct?
For sure.
So I don't know anything about you, but I know it's probably a pretty dramatic story. Give us the short version, and then we'll go in for the long version.
Okay, well, the short version is I struggled as an addict and alcoholic for years, trying to get some form of recovery. And only once I actually moved in to be Mr. Pastor Richard Dimzik's roommate, and he had a soft heart to see my struggle, he went ahead and decided that he was going to offer to try this 90 days thing that he had done in the past. And I even remember telling him that the stipulation was 90 days, practice and resurrection is what we coined it. We were going to wake up every morning, do a nice workout. So that would be the dying of the flesh, the crucifixion of the flesh. And then we were going to renew the spirit by reading the word.
Now, at this time, you were addicted to alcohol?
Oh, yeah. I was an addict of many other sorts.
Oh,
it
really?
Was, you okay. know, alcohol was a very easy, accessible gateway.
What else did you do?
Anything.
Well, tell us.
People don't know. Yeah, marijuana, cocaine, you know, if I could get my hands on it, it was accessible, which, given my past, was not a hard thing to do.
Well, one of the highwaymen painting, Al Black, was in here, and he was in prison, and he said, Rhett, I was addicted to crack cocaine. Now, I've never tried this stuff, but he said it's a horrible addiction. It's worse than cigarettes, heroin, anything. And he said Jesus came into his cell, and he was instantaneously delivered of that addiction to crack cocaine. So how did you and Richard meet? He was a pastor of a church?
Yes.
Okay, how did you meet him? You went to his church accidentally?
I did. It was an ex-girlfriend of mine invited me to go to church with her, and anyone who knows me, I've always been very spiritual and very attuned to Jesus. First time I accepted Jesus as my Savior, I was 9. I was in a very abusive home, and I had born-again neighbors across the street who prayed over me and had me accept Jesus as my Savior then.
Oh, so you remember that at 9?
Yes. Oh, I've had very traumatic childhood memories that have stuck with me quite some time. And which, you know, the physical abuse is why I'm a fighter today, probably, you know?
Physically abused.
Yes, yeah. I was every kind of abuse that you could imagine.
Really?
And, you know,
Were you in foster homes?
Oh, yeah. I had gotten kicked out of some because of fighting.
Yeah. Why did your parents give you up? Why were you a foster child?
I didn't even meet my dad till I was 12.
Didn't meet your dad till you were 12. And what about your mom?
She decided to leave when I was 11.
11.
She left 6 kids alone in the house and told us she was going to be back in 3 days. Two of those kids still have not seen, 2 or 3 of them haven't seen her to this day.
Wow, but you have?
Yeah, I decided when I was 18, I knew it was best that I go try to follow her coattails, which was another, you know, just found out that she was an active addict in her own addictions.
Yeah.
And following her around just got me into a deeper, darker part of the world.
Wow.
And wasn't the best place.
Did you drop out of school?
No, ironically, I did graduate from the same high school both my parents dropped out of.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
And that was kind of a weird way that worked out because I went 9th, 10th, 11th, and about half of my 12th grade year at Pompano Beach High School. And I got some really good memories of the friends and people I made family with down there. Then in the middle of my senior year, my dad had kicked me out of his house when I was 17 at the end of my junior year.
So you've been in these homes. What do they call those homes?
Foster homes.
Yeah, foster homes. But your father had taken you in.
Yeah, at I think 13, it was the end of my 7th grade school year, we were living at my aunt's at this time. My aunt had finally gotten custody of us, gotten all of my mom's six kids out of the foster home
system. Is she a good person?
She's a great person. A lot of people have bad and mixed feelings towards her because she is a bottom line person, but she's a successful businesswoman. So, of course.
Now, what do you mean by bottom line? In other words, she's firm.
Yeah.
And yeah, rules. Yeah. People don't like rules. That's why Jesus said the world hates me because I show them that their deeds are evil. Nobody wants them to. You know, one guy said recently, are you going to accept Jesus? And he said to a friend of mine, no, I want to sleep with whoever I want to sleep with, just like that. Oh, in other words, so he chooses darkness. Jesus said they choose darkness over the light.
Yeah.
So let's continue on where we were.
So my aunt had taken my mom's six kids in. God bless her heart. She had three of her own. She got nine kids. And then she ran a daycare out of
I'd like to meet that lady. Where does she live?
She lives in New York.
New York City? Or
On Long Island. That's where I'm originally from. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Continue on.
And living there, I finally met my dad living there.
How was that?
It was a very interesting experience because I can remember like it was yesterday. We had my aunt had a bay window out front, and the couch was up against it. And my knees were on the seat, and my hands were like up, like perched like a little puppy looking out the window. And here comes my uncle, who I also had never met at that point, and my dad getting out of my uncle's Land Rover, Range Rover, whatever he had at the time. And I was just sitting there wondering, like, which one's my dad?
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, trying to think from without a mirror next to me, which one do I look most like? Which one's my dad?
Did you pick the right one?
I didn't even pick. No. I was just too excited and just
so what
too much in wonder. Met my dad.
Was he happy to meet you?
Yes.
Did you cry?
I think I was too excited to cry.
Yeah, I can understand that.
You know,
how about him? Did he seem touched?
I have very rarely ever seen my dad cry, and he's just kind of grew up that way, you know, and that was kind of like the raising I got from him at that point.
Now, he's not the one that abused you. It was people in foster homes that abused you?
Actually, my stepdad and my mom were both the biggest culprits of the abuse early
on. Physical abuse.
Yeah, early on. Me and my dad, both drinking together, would get into altercations as an adult. And there was, you know, I'm an ex-gang member from North Dade County, South Florida.
What ages were you in gangs?
I was 20.
So this is after this, you became a gang member.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
So
So your father pulls up, he comes in, what happens next?
I think we went bowling that day, or he took us to the city to see the Empire State Building. Eventually, we started seeing him regularly.
Did you feel like you won the lottery? I'm with my dad now.
It was a very surreal feeling, especially because, I never got a good solid story as to why my dad was never in the picture. You know what I mean? Like, I just got
that. To this day you haven't?
From his point of view and his side of it was mainly because of my mom and the trouble that she would cause for him, because she would go from this guy to that guy to this guy, these other men would all be abusing her or abusing me and my brother, because me and my brother were my dad's kids with her, and then my mom had four with my stepdad. But and he said, you know, he had to get out of New York predominantly because it was making him a more violent person, lashing out at all these other individuals for things that she kept coming to him crying, oh, this happened, this happened, this happened. His story to me was he had a guy on the ground with his head up against the tire of his truck or car getting ready to hurt the guy. And his brother's like, his name's Ted. He's like, Teddy, you got to stop this. You can't keep doing this. And so, you know, that was my dad explained to me.
Well, you seem to be a pretty gentle character. I mean, you should have come out, you know, a lot worse than maybe you are, right?
This is a lot of recent discipline that you're getting to witness.
So you were a bad guy? How old are you now?
I'm 37.
That's pretty young.
Yeah.
A lot younger than me.
Thank you. Yeah. It feels good to
hear. About 30 years younger than me. I'm in my 69th year. So you, So if I'd met you a few years ago, were you kind of like, I mean, you seem to have a nice smile,
I'm coming up on 2 years of recovery now since that first 90 days with Richard. May 7th, ironically, the day after my fight will be my 2-year anniversary.
So one man making an investment in your life changed your life.
Yeah, we actually coined what me and him shared was called CPR. You know, CPR is used normally as the pulmonary resuscitation.
Yeah, you took a class together or something?
Well, we actually designed a 90-day class at this point based on CPR, which we coined was Christ-like positive regard.
Oh, okay.
It didn't matter what the other individual was doing or feeling and what they were going through. If you show them Christ-like positive regard, they will grow through it, and they will heal. And that's like, we, you know, it didn't matter what my feelings were, how, you know, far off my brain had taken me, my train of thought, that which, you know, was based on a broken belief system stemming from years of trauma and abuse and my own doing some of it. And the CPR was just like, you know, breathing life back into somebody, you know, compressing life into that person through love, which is Christ-like positive regard. You know, Jesus didn't run around telling people what they were doing wrong. He just loved them anyways and said, you know, come as you are to be loved, right? That was the message we got, was come and go. Once you've come, then we get told to go.
So how did you meet Richard, though?
So I remember his first sermon. He doesn't remember technically, you know, giving as his own memory, which I guess you do enough of those things, you won't.
Yeah, yeah.
And if it's the
would
truth.
Would you actually remember the sermon?
I remember the sermon.
How did you end up in a church, though? You're a guy in the street. You're a gang member.
As an ex-girlfriend invited me to go.
Oh. And okay, so it's a girl involved in this.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
So aren't you kind of like, I don't want to go to church, but.
No, I loved, like I said, I did love the.
So when you were nine, there still was a seed in you of truth.
Correct. Correct.
Something happened at nine. When those born-again people lived across the street.
Oh, I started. Then I cried my eyes out.
That day?
When that prayer, we were in a circle holding hands in this.
When you were nine, you cried?
My friend's grandma prayed over me to accept the Lord, and I cried.
Do you recall feeling anything within you?
What people call love.
Now you're touched now.
Yeah, what you call love.
You got tears in your eyes now, so something must have really happened.
Yeah, it did.
I mean, for a nine-year-old to remember it that well.
Yeah.
I remember
we were standing right there in the doorway of their house. She knew right away.
That you got born again.
No, that I needed a prayer and I needed to accept Jesus. As soon as she came to the door,
yeah,
she could see it and like sense it on me that I was distraught. It was another bout of physical abuse.
God bless that woman.
Yeah.
She could see the abuse, you said?
Oh, I'm pretty sure everyone, you know, the cops show up at your house enough, you know, something's going on over there and, you know, the neighbors knew.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
A.E. Stahls Real Estate and Associates is a hometown family company. Josh and Mandy Stahls, along with their two sons, have deep roots in this community. As a boutique brokerage, they are located steps away from Vero's beachside communities. They have a strong team of realtors, the tools, and experience to guide clients to the closing table. Helping clients feel confident in the buying and selling market is what they do. You can reach them at stallsrealestate.com, Facebook, or 772-800-8305.